You're here. That's a blessing. Amen. Great to see each and every one of you this morning. Did any of you have some food to eat the last day or two? How much? Too much? Yes. Another blessing. Just right. Just the right amount. Blessings surround us. Blessings are abundant. We need to take time to thank God for them. That gospel song, Count Your Many Blessings, is one of my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, but to remind us that God surrounds us abundantly with many, many blessings. He challenges us through this song to realize and to itemize the good things that God has done, the good things that God is doing, the good things that God will do. And we should never stop thanking God for all that He surrounds us with. In spite of all the problems, in spite of all the trials, in spite of all the restrictions, we are still blessed. God is still in control. Amen. God is still providing for us abundant blessings. He will continue to do so, often in ways that we have not realized or have not considered. For example, one Thanksgiving, they're in a nursing home during Thanksgiving season. They were gathered around their little tables, the resident population, and they were asked by the director to list some of the things that they were thankful for. And, of course, the many residents there started listing all their family members and the long life that they'd had and the health that they had and the friends that they had. And it came around to one little old lady sitting there, and she said, "I thank the Lord for two good teeth, one in my upper jaw and one in the lower jaw, and they both connect so I can chew my food." Big blessings, little blessings. Thank the Lord for His care and His provision. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders. Glory to His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad." That directive continues on into the New Testament. And it's not just the one psalm, there are several psalms, but also we find in 1 Thessalonians verse 5, chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give what? Thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." From the tiniest little delicate flowers to the majesty of the mountain peaks on our earth to the grandeur of the universe, our Creator, who made it all, is worthy of our thanks and our praise. The Almighty has blessed us with senses, hearing, sound, seeing sights, smelling smells, some of them we wonder about. Tastes and touching are all blessings that God has given to us to enjoy and to result in our praise of our Creator. And it doesn't stop there. He gives us more. He gives us emotions and feelings. And sometimes we struggle with those. They cover a broad spectrum. But God gave them to us to glorify Him. He has given us creativity and so much more. But one gift that we often take for granted is having His guidebook. He's given us the eternal Holy Scripture, the Bible. And we need to give thanks to God for it as well. We have many reasons for giving thanks to God. I haven't even started to scratch the surface. Count your meager blessings, your many blessings. Name them. Give praise to God. The book of Isaiah was initially written to the children of Israel. They are now divided into two nations, the northern kingdom of Israel, the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel pursued idolatrous living from its very beginning. As soon as the first king came into power, he immediately initiated idolatry, trying to draw the people away from the living God. And now, over after 200 years, God says, it's enough. I've had it. You're finished. He has ordained that the heathen Assyrian nation from way up north, led by King Sargon, is to decimate, destroy, and enslave what is left of the northern kingdom. Due to Judah's flagrant sin, the southern kingdom, the bloodthirsty hordes will also invade and surround the holy city of Jerusalem and destroy many of those people. The city gates are barred. The Judean soldiers have lined the parapets of the high stone walls of Jerusalem, and they're gazing at the multitude that surrounds their city. There is no escape. It is certain doom. The warnings of Isaiah and other prophets begin replaying in the minds of the people as they sit entrapped, as they wait for certain death. But as they reflect, they also begin remembering another portion of the words of the prophet and others that have gone before him. The prophet Isaiah also said that there were reasons for thanking God. God has not deserted them nor forsaken them. There is also hope for the future, even in the most dismal time. Brother Raymond read the opening of Isaiah chapter 11. I hope you were listening, because in the midst of all the prophets, words of doom and gloom were also words of hope that a Savior was coming, a Messiah was coming. The descendant from the tribe of Judah, the descendant from King David, was coming. And he would rise up in righteousness and perfection. Chapter 11 identifies the coming righteous king of David's royal line. A kingdom of perfection is promised, in which God's people will flourish, but all of the evil will perish. I didn't have him read the last few verses, the last four or five verses there. It's pretty dismal for the enemies of God. All of them will be decimated and destroyed and annihilated. So what is the result? What are the people to do? Well, after chapter 11 of Isaiah comes what? Chapter 12. Let's read Isaiah chapter 12. Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore you will flourish. You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Let's celebrate! Don't worry about that enemy horde out there. God is worthy of praise and thanks. Would you join me in prayer? Father, even in the worst of times, you are still there. You're faithful and true. Your promises are good. You keep them all. No matter how bad things look, your people are in the palm of your hand, and you care for them, and you're caring for us. Help us to draw ever closer to you, to humble our hearts before you. We thank you for your faithfulness through the ages past, and your faithfulness today and forever. Let us give thanks to you. Fathers, we reflect upon your goodness, your blessings. Help us to remember you are still in control, that your will shall be done. Let us be a part of that will, serving you, honoring you through the risen Messiah, the Savior of the world, Jesus, has conquered the grave. We have no reason to fear when we walk with you. Lead us and guide us in these coming moments as we consider these few words from your ancient book, the book of Isaiah. We thank you for these prophecies. We thank you for the promise of an eternity. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to deal with three quick points today. It'll only take us 3 or 4 hours. Kidding. Point number one, God's promise to send a righteous king to reign is given to us as we open up this text, which was read earlier. Let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, and specifically, and then we'll skip to verse 5. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots, and will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Verse 5. Also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. God promised, assured us that there is a Messiah coming, a Savior. This was written hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, over 2,000, 2,700 years ago. Hundreds of years previous to Isaiah's birth, another prophet by the name of Nathan was sent to the shepherd made king. What was his name? David. Became King David. In 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 11 through 14, God announced that one of David's descendants would reign forever on the throne, that there would always be his rule, reigning over the earth, ruling eternally as a righteous king over a kingdom that was pure before God through the will and the power of God Almighty. Throughout the Scripture, there is a golden ray of hope that runs through the pages of the Bible. Through all of history, God has still been touching people with His promises, touching the lives of the patriarchs, starting clear back with Adam, with the first sin. We see that God intervenes and says, there's hope, there's a promise coming. Passed on through the third son of Adam, Seth. And then on down through the ages, we read next in the Old Testament about the great patriarch Abraham, how God made multiple promises to him about a coming nation. And then through the grandson, Jacob, God reassured him and reconfirmed these promises that there is a Messiah coming. As he gave his final blessings to his children, Jacob interjected the information that Judah would be the tribe that possesses this king that would reign forever in Genesis chapter 49, a prophecy that was fulfilled. Isaiah has already reminded his audience in previous chapters, chapters 1 through 10, that the Messiah of the world was on his way. Isaiah is referred to as the Messianic prophet because he contains so much information about the coming Savior of the world. Now, he's not the only one, but he kind of carries that special quality in revealing so much to us. God used him in a special way to tell us that there is a Messiah, there is a Messiah, there is a Messiah. He's coming, get ready. The Messiah is coming, the Savior of the world, not just the Jews, but for all the world. And too often, like so many of us, people forgot. And they let it go. But there were a few who held on to that promise. This Messiah was promised in chapter 2, he would be a light to the nations. Next, we read in chapter 4 that he would come as a redeemer of the portion of Israel, of those who would place their faith in God. Next, we are told that he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Now, how many of you ladies would like that one? Suddenly, surprise, the promise of one individual who would bear the promised Messiah, a virgin. And then Isaiah informed them that this individual would be king of the entire world in chapter 9. And then there was more information to come because there's 63 chapters in the book of Isaiah. There's a whole lot more that God revealed through Isaiah. We've just touched on chapters 11 and 12. Today, we are thankful that God kept His promises 2,000 years ago. Jesus was born. He was a descendant of family of Abraham. He was of the tribe of Judah, just like God foretold. He was from the family of David, and He was born to a virgin named Mary. And He lived in the promised city of Nazareth in Galilee, as promised. And He loved the people. He performed miracles upon miracle, over flesh, over nature, over demons, over death itself. And should we not be thankful to God for the Lord and the King of life that was promised? Jesus has come. Amen. God kept His promise. God promised to send a righteous king to reign. He is reigning today. And we are His subjects. If you've surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we serve the King, the promised King, the prophesied King, the Messiah. And He's going to come again. Second point, we see in chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. Let me read those.